Students at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh are accusing the school of discriminating against classmates with disabilities. It's Friday, May 3rd. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Hope Kerwin. Coming up, leaders at UW-Madison agreed to let a pro-Palestinian encampment stand at least until today. And the latest climate outlook shows that parts of Wisconsin are likely to be warmer and wetter than normal this month. Daniel Kading will have more on whether we can expect a steamy summer. Stay with us.
Community support makes these 10 minutes of Wisconsin news possible. Your gift now at wpr.org/givewitoday makes the news you can use on Wisconsin Today available to you and everyone else. Thank you.
Students are accusing the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh of discriminating against classmates with disabilities. A small group staged a walkout on Wednesday to call on the university to improve academic support for those who need it. Students say their requests for accommodations are being delayed or denied. The staff supporting people with disabilities was cut in half during the last budget cuts. Alex Hummel is the chief of staff at UW-Oshkosh. He says students with disabilities have not been disproportionately affected by budget cuts.
I think we're doing our best since we've dealt with workforce reductions. I know people are working really hard to respond to students. I know our chancellor, too.
He says the university is working to address issues as they come up. This spring, the U.S. Department of Education dismissed a complaint filed by a student who accused the university of discrimination. Other students say they plan to file additional complaints. Leaders at the University of Wisconsin-Madison agreed to let a pro-Palestinian encampment stand for another 24 hours. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the agreement came a day after more than 30 protesters were arrested.
University leaders met privately Thursday with the student organizers of the protest. A UW spokesperson confirmed to WPR that leaders guaranteed no police action before their next meeting. That's planned to take place within the next day. Professor Samer Alatut is a faculty liaison to the student movement, who was among those arrested on Wednesday.
It feels way more hopeful than yesterday morning with all the violence that took place.
Students are demanding that the UW disclose its investments and withdraw those that support Israel. The encampment is part of a nationwide campus movement that at some schools has been met by significant law enforcement crackdown. Other schools, including Northwestern University, north of Chicago, have negotiated agreements with their protesters. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The state's Natural Resources Board unanimously approved an emergency rule for limited walleye harvest on the Minocqua chain of lakes in Oneida County. Walleye fishing has been limited to catch and release there since 2015. The restriction aimed to restore numbers of adult fish as the species has struggled to naturally reproduce. It was set to lift next spring, but the Lac des Flambeaux tribe declared it would spearfish walleye there this year. Starting next week, state anglers will be allowed one fish per day. Kurt Justice with Walleyes for Tomorrow say they're working for the state and tribal agencies to promote a self-sustaining population.
We're very vested in this operation, and not just for the Minocqua chain, but throughout the northern counties up here as far as walleye habitat and walleye reproduction.
The state says the population there is in good shape. Lac des Flambeaux tribal president John Johnson Sr. said he'd like the state to conduct more surveys to get an accurate count of fish caught by state anglers. The latest climate outlook shows that parts of Wisconsin are likely to be warmer and wetter than normal this month. As Daniel Kading reports, the summer could be hotter too.
The latest climate outlook shows slightly higher chances of a warmer May in the eastern half of the state. In Wisconsin, every month since January of last year, except for July, has been warmer than normal. That's according to Steve Vavris. He's a climate scientist and director of the Wisconsin State Climatology Office. He says that continues an ongoing trend of warmer than normal weather.
And not only here, but over most of the country. And that would continue the long-term trend with our warming climate.
Odds for wetter than normal weather this month are also expected to improve drought conditions. The seasonal outlook through July shows somewhat higher chances of hotter weather. Vavr says it's possible this summer could be especially hot due to a shift in climate patterns in the Pacific Ocean. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we'll hear about one writer's fondness for lilies of the valley. That's after the break.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible.
There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy with a story about Lilies of the Valley and family connection.
Lilies of the Valley are often considered a beautiful yet high-maintenance plant. For writer Nancy Jorgensen, they will forever connect her to her beloved grandmother, who found virtue in caring for them. Caregiving was deeply rooted in her grandmother. She dreamed of being a nurse, but society had different plans for a woman of her era. Jorgensen reflects on her grandmother's devotion to her family, dreams, and flowers.
It was May 1977 when my grandmother, Nana, led me to her basement, past the black iron cook stove, then the shelves of home-canned beans and beets. I sniffed the stale scent of Wisconsin wood fires and the mustiness of potatoes in storage, odors familiar to me since childhood. "Come see the lilies," Nana said as she leaned the screen door open and planted one leather shoe into her shady backyard. I was 22 and just married, but Nana's gardens still felt like home. "Bring that shovel," she said. "We'll dig some for your new house." Nana cultivated other species too, phlox, daffodils, violets, pansies. She coaxed each into a vibrant melody until her country yard trilled with color. Every year a new song, but her refrain always Lilies of the Valley. 4 decades later, Nana's darlings transform my spring landscape from a dirt and grass hoedown to a frothy white minuet. Nana has been gone many years, but her lilies still sing and sway. Nurseries call them a high-maintenance plant, but Nana considered their spreading a virtue. Their duty in life, like hers, to place roots, scatter beauty, and pass gifts on to a new generation. Lilies of the Valley thrive in shade. As a woman of the 1920s, so did Nana. Her list of chores, change diapers, weed gardens, wash floors, cast long shadows over each day. Wife and mother was not her first choice of vocation. Many years earlier, she dreamed of an education and a life devoted to healing. "I always wanted to be a nurse," she said. Instead, she lived like neighboring farm wives in her husband's shadow, reflecting warmth and light toward him. Like Nana, lilies of the valley rise early and bloom in the dawn of summer. Slender columns strut low to the ground, each boasting up to a dozen tiny flowers, pure white, only millimeters across. Of all Nana's flowers, I wonder why these captivated her the most. Was it their delicate bell shape, with round shoulders, fat waist, and frilly lip? Or their heady scent, spicy and persistent? Or was it because they required no harvest, existing only to be lovely? Lilies of the Valley symbolize rebirth, purity, youth, and happiness. But Nana delivered them to the grave of her son, a sailor in the U.S. Navy, and later her husband, who died at only 59, and then another son, whose heart suddenly gave out. In life's valleys, her lilies intoned a requiem. My 30-something daughters inherited Nana's love of gardening. Gwen, a professional athlete, sows kale, plants parsley, and nurtures her bed of mint. Elizabeth buys seedlings from her high school students who grow them in biology. For my daughters, planting is play. The stakes are low. If their gardens produce, they make a caprese salad or add chives to lettuce from the farmer's market. They have none of Nana's worries about climate's uncontrollables like rain, sun, drought, cold, or heat that could result in hungry children. 2 generations on either side of me, relishing the wonder of a seed, the beauty in a bloom, the gratification of growing. In 1921, a necessity. In 2021, an amusement. Nana's gardens became her vocation. She buried regrets and tended her plants as she would have tended patients. My daughters garden at their leisure, free to pursue their callings, teacher and writer, professional athlete, or nurse if they so choose.
Writer Nancy Jorgensen brought us that story about her fondness for Lilies of the Valley. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
The Milwaukee Bucks lost their opening round playoff series to the Indiana Pacers last night in Game 6. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm Hope Kerwin, in for Alex Crow this week. Our producers today were Mallory Cheng and John Davis. Catch us every weekday morning wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're an avid listener to the podcast, we'd love your feedback. What brings you back to listen? Email us at newscasts@wpr.org. We'll see you back here on Monday.